KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Fresno State Focus Radio Edition. With Fernanda Martinez and Angelica Hernandez, I'm Monet Schlauterbeck. Coming up on today's show, we'll learn about the pledge process for students joining the fraternity Sigma Nu.
It's a long drive from the South Valley. I spoke with students about the pros and cons of commuting to campus.
Also, we'll discuss a resurgence in school pride following the Bulldogs' recent football championship win, and we'll find out how student athletes manage their mental health.
Are y'all ready, kids?
Plus, we will hear from fans of the popular show SpongeBob SquarePants following the death of its creator, but we'll begin with commuting.
There is no doubt Fresno State is a commuting school, with thousands of students commuting to Fresno to attend classes. I talked with two Fresno State seniors about what it's like to commute an hour each way to school.
Driving back and forth from Madera to Fresno, like every single day, it's hard. For me, on gas, I have to just keep paying for it. I try to make it work. I try to show up early to every class, but sometimes parking's a huge hassle here at Fresno State. And on top of that, I work, and it's just, I work night shift, graveyard shift, and sometimes there's days where it's like I just want to sleep in, or I only get a few hours of sleep, like 3 hours of sleep, and I just don't want to go to class.
Yeah, I mean, it's cheaper over there to live versus here. Cons, I do have to wake up earlier to get here on time to class, like, especially, you know, well, that you got to prepare for that extra hour to be here. I got to try to fit all my classes into the least possible days, so I waste the less amount of gas, and so that's what I try to do, just waste less gas, and so drive as little out here as I can, but it's still hard, because it's time consuming, so my whole day is taken up being right here.
At Fresno State, a lot of students commute because of its location with so many smaller towns surrounding it. It makes it an affordable option for students who can't afford to live in Fresno or are just looking to save some extra cash. Both Carl and Jose will be sharing their unique experiences as commuters and give their insight and advice to other students thinking about commuting to Fresno State.
My name is Carl Liquanan. My advice is to definitely save up some money, definitely get a job. I mean, you'll have your financial aid to cover for you, but definitely you need something to cover for gas. Prioritize your time. Try waking up early.
My name is Jose Puga, and advice for commuters. Okay. Well, plan to leave early, at least an hour, hour and a half before your class starts, depending on how far you are. And I mean, know where your classes are at, know where you're gonna park. Oh, and another thing I forgot, the parking pass. That's the worst thing. When I lived here, I didn't buy a parking pass. Saved me, what, $90 per semester or something like that? Advice, yeah, basically, know how long it'll take, know what parking lot you're gonna park at for all day or whatever, because I got here and I didn't know which parking lot to park at, and in the morning there's like certain parking lots that are packed and there's no room, but there's parking lots that there is room, but you just have to park really far, and that's what I had to do, and I have to drive over here, prepare for the drive over here, and then I have to prepare for the walk, so you gotta accommodate for that time, so it's, I guess, count your time. That's it. I mean, have a four-cylinder car.
It is safe to say that commuting can be difficult at times for a student. Not only does it take up a lot of time out of a student's day-to-day activities, it also adds on to the stress level a student can be experiencing with the daily parking hassle and gas expenses. But as Carl and Jose both highlighted, it is cheaper to live at home and commute if you do not already live in Fresno. If you can get past all the troubles that come with commuting and take their advice, maybe you can have a better experience and actually make it work.
You're listening to Fresno State Focus Radio Edition. The end of the semester means that a lot of things come to a conclusion. That includes classes, clubs, and school organizations. Chandler Marquez looked into what it takes to join one of the most talked about student organizations on campus, fraternities.
With the semester coming to an end, not only do classes come to a conclusion, but clubs and organizations conclude too. One college experience that is discussed in many lights is rushing a fraternity.
In the Sigma Nu, I saw what they represented, and it was something that I've been looking for my whole life. They represent a lot of unity, love, and respect for one another. They come from different backgrounds and different stories, and they treat each other as if they were born and raised together.
That's Martin Trujillo. He's an 18-year-old freshman from Modesto, California. He's rushing Sigma Nu, a social fraternity on Fresno State's campus. Trujillo decided to rush a fraternity because he wanted to familiarize himself with people on campus.
Just to be able to socialize with other people, get to see meet other people from different backgrounds, kind of like see new ideals, and I'm a new student, so it was good to like socialize and get to know other people.
Although Trujillo says that the experience has been a positive one, there are challenges that he faces.
Personally, the most challenging part is balancing school and the pledge process.
So what exactly is a pledge and what do they do?
Pledge is someone that is dedicating their time to join our organization. Let's see, well, we require them to learn our history, national and local, and to follow our values of love, honor, and truth. Well, it's a whole semester long. Once a week they have the pledge meetings where they'll discuss things like their service work, they have to do their own philanthropy. Basically, what their pledge process is modeling is what it'll be like once they cross over as a brother.
And that's Alex Martinez. He's a senior at Fresno State and an alumni of Sigma Nu, the same fraternity that Trujillo is rushing. Martinez says that being in a fraternity has changed his life for the better.
As a person, it gave me more confidence knowing that all these guys are there for you no matter what. So it's just nice to know that. It's peace of mind. No matter what you're going through, you always have someone that has your back. During your time here, it's a fun time. It really is. So after that, you kind of realize, you know, my fun time has to come to an end. I'm glad I did it. At some point, you do have to grow up. So you have to take more responsibility of your action.
Although fraternities get a bad rap in the media, it is a path that a lot of people choose in order to meet people on campus. For a lot of college students, it also adds structure to their life, something that people crave after moving out of their parents' home. Many fraternity members describe their organization as a family.
Pledge is meeting my pledge brothers, creating that bond with a group of guys that you have no clue about until a couple months ago, and just creating a really strong bond with those guys and just becoming super close.
With KFSR, this is Chandler Marquez.
Fresno State's big win over Boise did more than send the Bulldogs to the Las Vegas Bowl. Jorge Rodriguez brings us reactions from the Fresno State football team's championship win and what it means for our campus and community.
There has been an increase of Bulldog pride felt all over campus. I ask ASI Chief of Staff Piper Walker what this win by the Fresno State football team means for school pride.
This is a great opportunity for campus pride to really grow and be amped up again. There's always a new sense of pride when you see people on your campus succeeding through academics, through athletics. It gives the campus something to root for and something to definitely brag about. And so I think it definitely is going to increase campus pride. I think that there's a new sense of energy on campus, and everybody is throwing their support behind the athletics department, our football team, and definitely rallying behind them to show as much support as we can, win or lose.
Walker also talked about what it's like for a fan of the Bulldogs to watch the game in real time.
So everybody in ASI, and then everybody that, you know, was watching from home, I was one of those people, you know, watching the game on the TV. I was definitely super proud. We were definitely a little bit nervous, of course, when everything goes into overtime, everyone's on the edge of their seat. But we all knew that, you know, Fresno State was going to pull through. And, you know, when ultimately the score came out to that win, everybody was super excited. Everybody in the house I was sitting in was cheering. Everybody in ASI was texting each other about how excited we were about the win. And definitely, like, looking forward to getting students to the Las Vegas game. We're excited to be able to provide transportation to the game.
Fresno State veteran student Juan Ortiz commented on how last weekend's win is perceived by students on campus.
This is the most that I've heard people talk about our football team in a while. I know they're doing a lot of great things, and you know, it's good to hear just people have that kind of to be proud of you know, their college.
Business major Brianna Alberto talked about what this win means for the university after years of not winning a championship.
When it's so many years after like not winning, and then you finally win, like it just kind of gets everyone together. Like it just, everyone is excited. Everyone's like wanting to be part of that win. Everyone wants to be part of being in the bigger picture, representing this like Fresno as a city, and just kind of like putting their name out there in the country.
Collegian sports editor Mike Ford comments on what this all means for the football team and what they will be facing in the upcoming bowl game.
I think it's really brought the school together in a way. I know personally, ever since the game, I've been seeing a lot of support on social media. People are sharing the stories that we've written, sharing their thoughts on the game. I follow a lot of people who are associated with the football program. They're really galvanized, and I think that overall I've been seeing more people wearing Bulldogs gear throughout the school. I saw a couple people wearing Bulldog sweatshirts actually on the way over here, so I think the morale is going to be even better after we win the Las Vegas Bowl, because that's going to happen, and I'm looking forward to the galvanizing force that the game will bring.
The Fresno State Bulldogs will travel to Las Vegas and face Arizona State in the Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl on Saturday, December 15. This has been Jorge Rodriguez for Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
You're listening to 90.7 KFSR. Practices, the competitions, the traveling, and on top of all that, the continuous load of schoolwork. All of this can affect a student athlete's mental health. Savannah McClellan spoke with two star athletes about mental health and what they do to stay chill.
I spoke with Fresno State football quarterback Marcus McMarion and Fresno State's water polo member Brooke Barlow to discuss mental health and how important it is to maintain while being a college athlete.
I'd say having good mental health, in my opinion, is just making sure you're kind of just at peace with yourself. I mean, a lot of things could be going on around you and things could get kind of hectic, but being able to make sure you have time to yourself where you kind of just ask yourself how you're doing, and not everything that's going on around you, but just personally how you're handling everything.
Mental health is basically your mindset on things, and if it's either, it can be a positive to a negative thing. So it's like just like how your body works, you want to make sure you're healthy, so you also want to make sure like your mind's healthy, and mostly like the idea of like having positive thoughts and the positive like mentality. Even if you're physically fine, if you're not mentally fine, you're gonna start finding these issues that bring you down physically also. Like with so many people who deal with mental, they tend to like starve themselves or like binge eat and stuff, and that can cause damage to your body and stuff. So I would definitely say it's definitely like a big part of like your overall health.
Personally, I haven't experienced it, but I've had quite a few teammates kind of go through stuff that were open about how they've met with therapists or done different strategies to accommodate their mental health issues, that whatever they're dealing with. So I think having been around it so much, I'm kind of aware and open to what the consequences and what kind of symptoms and signs are of it. So I kind of try to keep myself aware of the situation more than anything.
The challenges of mental health can come from many different things, and resolutions to help get through these challenges may vary, but to keep silent is not the answer.
I guess you don't want to be the face of it, to be the person that you're kind of admitting you have something wrong with you, and that depression and these kind of things are real, and that's actually not a bad thing to experience at all. When you put this amount of stress you do, expectations you have on yourself, expectations from the community, I mean, it'll pile up pretty quick. So I mean, I recognize it as definitely something that's definitely occurring a lot.
My sports trainer first suggested me to this app that helped me my anxiety go down by distracting me easier. So I'd say like even just looking up online and just finding kind of like help, or like if you don't want people around you to know, you can always like just create an account of like some social media to just get out your personal feelings, or even just writing about it. It's also a big help.
My advice about speaking up about it, I mean, just I think that's the first step more than anything. I mean, just speaking about it. I mean, you don't have to come out and throw a campaign about it and try to be the head leader for something. But I think the first step and biggest step is just speaking about it, being able to, yeah, I think honestly just the biggest step is just speaking about it.
Savannah McKellen, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
Steven Hillenburg, the creator of the beloved children's cartoon SpongeBob SquarePants, recently passed away at the age of 57. Alexandra Harrell talks with SpongeBob fans to discuss their favorite SpongeBob memories and characters.
Are y'all ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
I can't hear you!
Aye, aye, Captain!
Oh!
I actually saw it the very first episode it aired in 1999. I was 3 years old.
Skylar Munkers recalls his first time watching SpongeBob SquarePants on Nickelodeon.
I didn't really start like paying attention and caring about it until about 2001, 2002. That's when the show really started to like hit its peak and started to gain traction and be the flagship for Nickelodeon. So once it started, like once I started being able to remember plot points and remember episodes, that's when I started to really go, man, this is a funny show. This is a good show.
Our generation, we grew up with like the day one episodes.
Yadira Arredondo is also a longtime fan of the show.
And like you don't that those episodes don't really get like aired a lot as much as like the newer ones.
Both Skylar and Yadira have been watching SpongeBob for years. But what episodes do they consider to be their favorite?
Definitely the Krusty Krab training video.
Preparing the Krabby Patty.
At that point in time, the episodes of SpongeBob were, let's see what SpongeBob's doing. That was one where that wasn't the point at all. It was literally a complete genre break. And for a children's show, it's not very common to decide to do an entirely different genre.
The Krusty Krab pizza, when they want to start delivering pizza. I think that's like probably the best one.
The Krab pizza is the pizza absolutely.
That's probably like my favorite episode of all time because it shows everybody's character all in like one whole episode, because you see Mr. Krabs wanting to like make money, so he just sells pizza because some customer says, oh yeah, like I'll pay you for pizza, and like, all right, we'll start making pizza, even though like they have no background in making pizza. But like, so like there you already see he likes money, he likes business. And then Squidward hates the whole entire time because he has to go with SpongeBob, so you can already see the relationship that he dislikes SpongeBob, he dislikes his job. And then you see SpongeBob basically being himself throughout the whole entire episode, and that's like hilarious within itself. So I think it's just because you could see a little bit of everybody and like how they react to each other.
If you want to compare it to educational children's television, it's one of the worst in the world.
What confused me is how Mr. Krabs' daughter was Pearl and she's a whale.
Chris Gonzalez remembers how confused he was as a child while watching the show.
That confused me a lot. I didn't really know what to think about that. And I was just like trying to like put science together, and I was like, wait, that makes no sense. There would be like campfires underwater. That'd be kind of confusing. I remember thinking about that. And then they had a lagoon inside. Oh, that didn't make any sense to me either. Like, how is there water inside water? Things like that wouldn't make sense to me, because I thought about that type of thing, and I'd be like, why is there water in water? And I asked my mom about it. Because when you're a kid, you don't really think about these things. You just watch it.
I think my mom probably didn't like it just because she thinks even today that it's like a dumb show. Like it has nothing to offer in a way. But like she likes it. Like I guess now because we're older, like she'll like laugh at some episodes, or like whenever we reference stuff, like me and my sister, like she'll be laughing. But I think when I was younger, she was more like, why are you watching that? And like, you know, like, or change it to something else and stuff. So I don't think she disliked it. She probably was just like, that's not adding to your like developmental education in a way.
There's a reason why they recommend you're not younger than 7 or 8 and watching it, which is, I was younger than that watching it, and it's actually bad for your health and your growth. But if you're of age, it's a pretty good show. For just comedies in general, it's up there. The way they mix children's humor, children's plot lines with more adult humor, and the way that it just was fun to watch with my mom. She can enjoy herself watching it just the same that I was. you can laugh at it as a kid because, wow, Patrick fell. That's funny. But then what he says makes the adults laugh in the room.
Fans of SpongeBob know the show has a lot of unique and relatable characters. Which characters do Skylar and Eudora feel they relate the most to?
Probably Plankton, just because Squidward's a close second, and I like those two characters because they're the most, like, as you get older, you start to relate more, and you start to see what their struggles are, and you go, wow, it's really annoying having to deal with all of these other just obtuse characters who won't stop laughing, won't stop being dumb. And him just dealing with it, the best episode of that is where he switched bodies with Mr. Krabs and has an existential crisis. And the final line that he leaves with is,
"Goodbye, everyone. I'll remember you all in therapy."
That line made me love him for the rest of time, just because he's way too adult for the rest of the characters on the show. And the fact that he's tiny just makes it even worse for him.
Now, being older, I feel more like Squidward. But I think when I was younger, I was probably like Patrick or something because stuff just goes over his head all the time. And that's still me. But I think now that I'm older, like I see on social media, on Twitter all the time, like, oh yeah, I relate to Squidward a lot. But like for real, it'd be really spot on sometimes that he's just sitting there and he's just like, I hate everybody. And then it's like me at work and I'm like, I hate everybody here. Like, so I think it's like way more relatable now that I'm older.
I hate all of you.
He's Squidward, she's Squidward, we're all Squidward. Except for Chris Gonzalez, who shares a different opinion about our favorite underwater pessimist.
I remember Squidward always annoying me. Just because he was always in a bad mood. And then I would say I'm a little bit of SpongeBob because he has a good work ethic. Because he always went to work. He was always happy to be at work, even though he's worked there. I don't know how long he's worked there, but I'm pretty sure he's worked there for a pretty long time. So to have a positive mindset about something like that, like just flipping burgers and stuff, just gives you an idea of like he really really likes that. So if he really really likes something, then it's not really work. So I guess I bring that work ethic into athletic training because I really really like it.
My mom, she's really like money oriented, so she like tries to save money or tries to like stretch her dollar to the max. And I feel like she relates a lot to Mr. Krabs because he's the exact same way. I mean, he's cheap though, but like a lot, but in a way, like he's like money oriented.
Hello, I like money.
I think I see a little bit of everybody throughout, I don't know, the people that I encounter in life, because it's really relatable.
SpongeBob is such an iconic show. What are some of the ways it's influenced our generation?
Probably in our comedy, for sure.
You always see memes about SpongeBob. Like, there's always memes on Twitter or, like, memes on any type of social media about SpongeBob. The one with Mr. Krabs where he's sobbing on the ground and all his parts are everywhere. And, like, if people would tweet that, it'd be, like, mood and stuff like that. Like, stuff like that makes me laugh.
The one where it's, like, Patrick has $3 or $40. He's like, I got $3. And like that meme is great because I use it all the time whenever it comes to like money stuff. And it's like, I have no money. And it's like, I'm gonna throw in, you know, a meme here and there. And you see it on social media, like you see it everywhere. So it's like, even if you don't watch it, like you still are like exposed to that, you know. But I think they're pretty hilarious. I like seeing them on like social media and stuff.
It's not the originator, but I think when television shows started becoming the meme, like Haven and the playground for it, SpongeBob was the heaviest one because our generation grew up during that as kids. So they're like, oh yeah, that was a funny scene. And it's easy to rip things. And when you post it, basically most of our generation has seen at least one or two episodes of that show. So they immediately know where it's from. And they probably know that episode in particular. So I honestly think it's in the meme renaissance.
So what is the underlying message of SpongeBob?
I think it depends on what character you care about, because like if it's SpongeBob, I think the whole point is to just, I'm ready.
I'm ready!
Is that no matter what the challenges of the day, I'm ready for whatever's coming my way. Patrick's is sort of just a, just go with the flow and be who you are. Squidward is please leave me alone. Mr. Krabs is make money.
Money!
I think the overall impression of the show is to just enjoy your adolescence and just be a kid as long as you can.
Sandy, Mr. Krabs, Squidward, even Patrick or SpongeBob themselves, like the stuff that they, like the people that they encounter and then the people, like the situations that they're in, like they always end up like going back to how it was. Like whatever the conflict was, like they're always like, oh, okay, like we're still best friends or you're still my boss or you're still my neighbor. Like it's not like some big old thing where it's like, oh, you know, like because of this, like we're not gonna, you know, have a relationship. So I feel like in a way relationships mean a lot, like however whatever relationship you have with people, you know, like, it could mean a lot to the other person. To SpongeBob, it always means way more than, like, to other people, you know?
The creator of the show, Steven Hillenburg, he just was a marine biologist who just really wanted to teach kids about marine biology. And so he had a little comic strip at his department at a, you know, the facilities where, like, they have the animals that you touch in the water. He worked at one of those, and he had little comics that he would draw himself with SpongeBob or a form of that that would just give out facts. And it was just such a interesting concept that he wanted it to become a television show, and he just put his heart and soul into it. And it just, you can feel that in the first few seasons of, like, just a show that the guy just wanted to make, and you don't get that enough anymore. And it's those bright little stars of shows that's why it's still on to this day, is because it's an icon. It's Nickelodeon. That's their mascot. Just interesting to show, like, if you care enough, you can get your material and get your shows put out there, even if they're just for children. Like, they can touch people's lives, and you should be happy about that. And that's why I'm very sad that he passed away, because he was a cool guy. I liked watching him in interviews. I liked his show. I just liked him.
Rest in peace to the creator of SpongeBob SquarePants, whose show has touched the lives of so many. May his legacy live on. For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, this is Alexandra Harrell.
SpongeBob SquarePants!
For me, I never really watched SpongeBob SquarePants. I don't know if you guys were really frequent watchers of it.
For me, yeah, it was definitely something I watched growing up. It was definitely a ritual in my house. SpongeBob was just a larger-than-life character. The songs, so many funny episodes with him and Patrick. I love that show a lot.
I definitely feel like I still quote SpongeBob.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It has not left me, yeah.
And I really, really want to try a Krabby Patty. Like, to this day, like, my life will be complete once I have a Krabby Patty, for sure. And that's a wrap for our show this week. Fresno State Focus Radio Edition is produced by Professor Faith Sidlow for the Department of Media Communications and Journalism.
Our stories and interviews are produced and edited by Savannah McKellen, Jorge Rodriguez, Fernando Martinez, Monet Schlauterbeck, Chandler Marquez, and me, Angelica Hernandez.
This program is produced in collaboration with 90.7 KFSR. For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Fernando Martinez.
And I'm Monet Schlauterbeck. Have a great morning.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.